die so quickly, even for you younger guys. You know, you think back and you're still younger. That's the way you better be. You don't want to be old and miserable, and I won't look at anybody in particular.
Is your microphone on? Is your microphone on?
Not yet.
Okay.
It should be, because he just walked out. Yeah, maybe it is. Come here, girl. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Sit down, girls. Well, you know, over the last few weeks, we've had some people in here getting older. I checked the calendar today, and Danny's way up there. Yeah. Danny who? You had a birthday, what, 3 weeks ago? So?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Junior and Jane. They got birthdays. And Miss Judy has a birthday or had a birthday. Rick told me you're what, 79? No, he didn't. But he does talk about you. I won't say any more. Who else?
Roy had one yesterday.
Who?
Roy.
You had a birthday? You had a birthday yesterday? Yeah. Aren't you glad you're able to celebrate your age? Mine... You all should know when mine is. And I'll be 18 again for the 15th time. And I want to thank Miss Judy. She cost me $460 about 5 years ago or more. I told her, we were talking, I told her I had neuropathy, and she told me, well, go to this Foot Solutions in Hickory. They take good care of you, and they do. I've got no complaints. They're great. So I went in there to buy some shoes for boot camp, and I got the shoes, and I got the inserts, and I got the bill. $458 for them. But I have no complaints with those people. They're great. And the shoes that they get for you are great. They take good care of you. So I have no complaints about that. And Nora's not here to holler at me. So besides, I would tell her I'm the boss. And you all that know Nora know she would say, yes, sir. Yeah. But it's been a good week. I hope you all have a safe holiday. Jerry's traveling back home. She left this morning about 5 o'clock. Last I heard from her, she was in Virginia. And I told her it's good to travel on the holidays. There's not a lot of traffic on the road. And it's been good. So... that's what I used to do. I'd travel on the holiday itself and miss a lot of that traffic. So, all right, prayer request. Wyndham's back. It's good to see him. He's had some adventures, and he can tell you about them. It'll take you about a week to hear everything he's gone through. All the fun he's had, but it's good to have him back. All right, prayer request. What do we got? Anything?
Pray for my dad and my children.
Okay. Okay. Anything? Yes, sir.
I have a knee replacement.
Your mom? How old is she?
Older than John. Yeah, older than me. Younger than him.
Everybody's younger than him. Except me. Oh, good. I hope she does good. I hope she does good. Tell her to stay active. But it's hard. It's hard for most people. I had to cut back on. I was going to boot camp three times a day, and it caught up to me. I was tired, and my knees started feeling it. So I backed off to one a day now, and I don't want to miss it because it's good. But, yeah, tell her to stay active. That's the important thing.
I've been preaching that for a while, but she just won't.
Yeah. Well, people, that happens to people, and then they end up suffering later on. Anyone else?
My sister back home is going in this week for some very serious surgery.
Okay.
It's supposed to take like 6.5 to 8 hours for her surgery.
Wow.
So I'm not really sure if she's going to make it or not, so I just ask everyone to pray for her.
Your sister that... Okay. Wow. Okay. We'll pray for her too. That's one of my fans. Tell them I'm busy. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I think it's appropriate today, since it's the birthday of our country, to pray for this nation for this suffering.
Yes.
We need some help. We need God's help.
So. We sure do. And as I say, you know, we need to pray, not only pray, but be active in our witnessing, because we're going to give an answer one of these days. You know, you've seen your country going downhill. You know that if people got right with the Lord, it would possibly change some things. But don't expect it, but pray for it. Pray that the Lord deals with our leaders, that they get saved, that they, even if they don't get saved, that they make decisions that would bring honor and glory to the Lord. You know, we're on a downward slide. As I said, it's exciting because you know what's happening when you look at Israel and you see what's happening there. And the whole world, and you see it all going down, and you know that it's going to happen, you know. But that doesn't mean we should stop witnessing, praying, and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we should be doing. All right. And you got surgery coming up, right? You got two of them, right? One's not enough. You got to go through two. All right. Here's what you do. You don't take anything to destroy the pain, to stop the pain. Show them you're a tough guy, and I want to hear the results of it. And Judy, about passing out. Good. That's good, because with these crazies on the road, and that's not us, especially Danny and I, if we travel on the same road together, those people better watch out if we're going the same direction. But anyway, Junior, Jane, you're all okay? Any prayer requests? Okay. Keep that in prayer. Okay. All right. Okay.
To buy or rent.
Anybody else? All right. Remember to keep each other in prayer. As I say, each other in this Sunday school class and then the whole church. Keep me in prayer, if you would, that the Lord will guide and direct me and lead me into what to teach and so forth. And I guess that's about it. So, Danny, how about praying for us?
Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Wonderful, wonderful day that you've given us, Father. Just take some moments to pray for these people that have come to you with prayers on their hearts and souls and minds. Father, for the surgeries coming up, for the MRIs, for all the folks that are going through things, Father, that we just don't have any idea about. We pray for them, Father, that you answer their prayers and
yes.
their requests. But more important, Father, we just want your will to be done in each and every life. We thank you for all the birthday celebrations we dread and wait and look forward to in others. But Father, we just thank you for another day just to come to thy house and just say, thus saith the Lord, to hear what the Lord has to say to us today. Pray for John as he prepared this lesson for us. And just thank you for each and every one of the classes showed up today that they get established, Father, that they get grounded in the Word of God. And we don't
yes,
pray for them.
Yes.
And we just thank you that we can come to our Father and say, thank you, Lord, for your perfect salvation. Of course, in Jesus Christ, and we ask it and demand it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. You know, we've been dealing in Genesis chapter 6, dealing with the flood and dealing with the ark being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll cover that more. We've seen how God looks upon man, looked upon his state, and looked upon his nature, how that he's wicked, only evil continually in his thought life. And that's how man is. You know that. I know that. The natural man. And then by his practice, we looked at that, the acts that he did. And then God always gives a warning before judgment comes. And he gave the warning to those people. They wouldn't listen. And then the rains came. The ark was built. The ark being a picture of safety, being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this age, how when we get into him, when we get born again, that we're safe. The storms will come. The trials and temptations will come, but we don't have to yield to them because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit within us. And all we have to do is call upon the Lord and give ourselves to the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And we do not have to fall into sin. We walk into it, as I say all the time. We make a decision. I'm going to do this. I'm going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then I'm saved. Big deal. I'm going to reap something. But at the end, I'm still saved. But you're forgetting the judgment seat of Christ. Your rewards. You're going to see them burned up. You're going to see them go through that fire and get burned up. And then you're going to feel the loss and say to yourself, how stupid I was because I wouldn't give up that little pleasure for a short time to satisfy the lust of my flesh. If we can get a victory over that, we can see changed lives just amongst us. And it'll bring about changes in other people as they look at us. And other people are looking at you and me. They, you claim to be a Christian, and you're under that microscope. And you need to live the life that you claim. So the ark, we looked at that, and it was a sermon of sorts. It was we covered it last week, a long sermon. For now, we'll determine that it was 120 years. But that 120 years may be dealing with something else. But we'll say 120 years. It was a righteous sermon, the Ark. We've seen that in Hebrews and Romans. And then it was we'll start here. It was an illustrative sermon. And I like illustrations because a lot of times illustrations, you can pick up on that easier than when somebody's just up here talking. So it was a righteous sermon. You find that in 2 Peter and Hebrews and Romans 1. 2 Peter 2:5 says, because of God's righteousness, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That's how God sees the lost people. Ungodly. Now, you think, well, should we look at them that way? You should look at them as a lost soul on their way to a devil's hell and then for eternity into the lake of fire. That's how we should look at people. If we've seen people like that instead of, you know, the way we do now, it would make a big difference in our life. Then we would begin to pass out tracts. Then we would begin to witness and present the gospel message. Then in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things as not yet seen, moved with fear. And I covered this last week, the fear of God. We should be moving with fear. And it's not the fear that, oh, if I don't do what God wants me to do, he's going to punish me. No, it's a fear of not pleasing our Lord and Savior. That's the fear. I don't want to hurt him. No more than, I know I'm a wise guy, but I don't want to make cracks to somebody to hurt them. Funny cracks? Yeah, fine, okay. But I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'm not like that. I'd feel bad if I ever do that. So, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved by, with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So that's the first thing we should deal with, is our house, our relatives, when we're witnessing. And that's usually the hardest people to reach, because they know you, they know your past life, they know how you were. And I've told you before, my brother has said for years, oh yeah, Johnny's a preacher. He used to do this. He used to do that. And, you know, I still hear it, but it's not as bad now as he's gotten older. But it happens. They look at your past life and they throw it up to you. But you continue to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't worry about it. So he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, we see a lot about faith in here. And I want to cover that for a second. You know what faith is. Faith is things not seen, but believe because God says it. Okay, the essence of faith consists in receiving what God has revealed and may be defined as a trust in God of the Scriptures and in Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. So faith is believing what God said. And in order to believe what God says, you've got to understand that God gave us his word, written word, in this day and age. And I don't have to preach that to you people. You know that. But you're going to come across others that don't believe that and will run to perversions and say, well, it says here and it's different than what it says in God's Word. You got to know how to deal with that. But it's believing the Word of God and what He says, which receives Him as Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, and implies to a loving obedience and good works. Along with being saved, being born again, should come the good works as a result of being born again. And you find that in John 1:12, James chapter 2. And you see the particular use of faith. And it rises there with second definitions. Now, first of all, salvation, faith is personal trust. You know that. Personal trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. His death, His burial, and resurrection. What's so important about that? 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Jesus Christ came. Timothy tells us that it was God manifest in the flesh. Okay, so God came in the form of Jesus Christ, and He was fully man. He was fully God. He went to the cross. He paid our debt by taking that punishment that we deserved. And He shed His blood. Now, His blood is God's blood. Colossians tells us that. That it's God's blood. And that's the reason it can wash our sins away. People need to understand that. Because it's not just some guy died on the cross, shed his blood, so took our sins away. No, God did that. He manifest Himself in the flesh. Come down, took the beating that you and I deserved. Was nailed to the cross, shed His blood. His blood is what washes our sins away. And not only that, but He died. Now you saying God died? In the form of a man. Jesus Christ died. He gave up the ghost. He gave it up. It wasn't taken from Him. Was buried and rose again on the third day, proving He is God. So there's no question about that. And when we deal with people, we've got to emphasize that, what the gospel is, so that they don't get confused. If they've been raised in some other religion where it's works, you got to do this, you got to do that. It was funny. I went to a restaurant, and it came up because I give a girl a track, and it came out that I'm a preacher. And so the one girl says, "Oh, Father." I says, "I am a father." I says, "But I'm old enough to be your great grandfather." And so we joked about that, and it gave me time. It opened up a conversation, and that's what you look for. You look for openings where you can preach the Word and teach the Word and witness to the lost people. So it's a personal trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because of His finished work. And then used in prayer, faith is a confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. Now, it says He will hear us. It doesn't say He's going to answer us according to what we want. We want a lot of things. I want to see this country. I'd like to see every politician saved and living for the Lord. I'd love to see that. I pray for our leaders. But I know it's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean I don't pray for it. There's things that we'd like to see in our lives and in our families' lives that we pray for. And it's not unreasonable things. It's not selfish things. But it's things that will bring honor and glory to God. And we pray for them, but they don't get answered. Why don't you answer my prayer? People have loved ones that go into eternity. And when they're on their deathbed, God, can't you save them? Won't you bring them back? Why? You want them back in this world? Maybe they're in pain, they're suffering. You want them back to suffer some more so you can watch them suffer because of your selfishness? No, wrong motive. You know, Lord, I don't know how it's going to work out, but here's my desire. I would love to see that person saved and healed and be able to live a life again. But we're all getting there. We're all going to reach that point where we're going to drop dead or we're going to suffer through some disease. So accept that and move on. That's all. AIO. Adapt, improvise, and overcome. That's how you live your life. And you military guys, you know that. And that's what you do. So it's having confidence that God's going to answer that prayer for His honor and His glory, not for what my desires are. And that's the way I do it. Lord, I'd like to see this, thus, and thus. But whatever works out best for your honor and glory, that's fine. I accept it. And then it's used in reference to unseen things of which Scripture speaks. Faith is a substance to them, so we act upon the conviction of reality. And the Holy Spirit will convict us and lead us and guide us. And as a working principle, the use of faith is illustrated in Hebrews 11. That whole chapter deals with faith. And if you want to know what faith is, you read that chapter, study that chapter. Know about faith, so-and-so by faith. See how they lived their life and what they did. Now, there's a message that I'll probably preach sometime called The Importance of Faith, and it's out of Habakkuk chapter 2. Jesus asks a question in Luke 18:8. He says, "Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh, and shall he find faith upon the earth?" Now, individually, if he was to come, would he find faith in us? Faith in the Word of God, faith in living a life, trusting the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us, and as we yield to Him. What does it mean to live by faith? Faith is a key element in the Christian life. Faith is a key element in the Christian life. I want to emphasize that. Because we live by faith. We get saved by faith. Prove that there's a God. You're not going to prove that to anybody. Prove that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. You can only go by what the Word of God says, and you've got to believe it, and you believe it by faith. The Bible is clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you want to please God, you've got to have faith. Notice the role of faith in our lives. It's a requirement to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Faith is what makes prayer work, according to James chapter 1 and verse 6. Faith is what makes everything work. According to Romans 14:23. And so, it is not enough to have faith to get saved. That's great. You have faith to get saved, you get born again, and that's the first step. That's a start. We must live by faith. How do you live by faith? I mentioned it, by applying the Word of God to our lives. You've got to, again, I've got to emphasize this. It's so important. You've got to understand and know the Word of God. It's there's divisions in there. Some of them are for us in this day and age. Some were for the Jews. Some were for the transition period in the book of Acts. You've got to know what's what in the Word of God and how and what to apply to yourself so that you're obedient to the Word of God, so that you're coming in line with the Word of God, and that way you won't get messed up. So faith in God must be demonstrated all day, every day, by you and I as believers. So that'll touch on faith and give us a little insight to it. Now, where were we? The next part of it, the ark is an illustrated sermon. An illustration, like I said, is so important because it can give you a visual to what you're talking about. They could see the ark. All the people in that area saw what Noah and his boys were doing. They were building that monstrosity of a boat, and the people laughed at them. You know that. People laugh at you and I when we present the gospel message, when we live a biblical life. Oh, you can't do this because the Bible says that. No, I can do that, but I don't want to. I want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in my language, in my acts, and in my thoughts. So that's why I don't get involved in some things. Not because I can't. I won't, because it won't bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an illustrated sermon. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody has an excuse to die in their sins and go to a devil's hell. There's enough information out there, and not only the information, but there's enough when they look at nature to know that there is a God. And once they accept that, they'll take the next step, and God will give them more light. God will give you more light. God will give us more light as we seek the truth. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You and I, each one of us, know people like that. You know, they're so smart. They're so intellectual. They're so all-knowing that they think we're fools because we believe in a God that we can't see, we can't touch, but you know His power. You felt His power. You've had answered prayers. They can't answer that. Then in John 1:29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Those people at that time seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He was called the Lamb of God. What was the Lamb? Back to Genesis. What was sacrificed for Adam and Eve? A lamb. The blood was shed by a lamb. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is, our lamb, our sacrifice. the world's sacrifice. Do you know He died for all sins? He paid for all sins. Can you imagine? Here's an illustration. You buy a house. You owe, say, $500,000. And some guy comes up and says, here's the $500,000 to pay your house off. Oh, no. I don't want that. No, I can't believe that's real. I can't accept that. I don't believe it. And he would have paid your house off, but you refused it. When that lost person stands before God Almighty at the white throne judgment and says, I don't deserve to go to hell. I've been a good person. Why would you throw me in hell? First of all, God's not throwing you in hell. You made that choice by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt. When He shed His blood, He shed it for all sin. That sin was paid for. You refused to accept it. So now you pay the price yourself into the lake of fire. And that's what happens. Those of us that have accepted that sacrifice, we can have that confidence that our sins are paid for. We have a home in glory, and we will be in Christ's government, dependent on what we do, how we live our lives today, will be our rewards. And then Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That's us. We can see the evil. We can see the wrong. We can see the sin. And if you're not sure, you seek God's advice. Lord, should I be involved in this? Should I go here? Should I do this? And you wait for an answer, either a yes or a no. You don't get involved in it if it's questionable. You wait till you get a clear answer. Or go on, satisfy the lust of the flesh, and reap what you sow. Romans 2, verse 1 says, therefore, every time you see therefore or wherefore, I'll say this all the time. You go back and check what it's there for. You read the verses preceding that and find out what's going on there. Therefore, thou art inexcusable. You have no excuse. We have no excuse. I have no excuse. O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth, and wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same thing. Now, the context here is judging other people. And so many times, saved people are guilty of this. Especially the newly saved people. Because they're so full of zeal. They want to do what's right. They want to learn the Word of God. That they see somebody doing something that they think they shouldn't be doing. Ah, oh, how can he be a Christian? Look at what he's doing. Or look at what he said. Listen to that joke he told, if it's a little off color. Even a little off color. Listen to how he talks. He can't be saved. You and I think most of us in here, if not all of us, are past that stage. And, you know, we don't sit in judgment of others because I don't want it coming back to me as I deal with other people. And I think I heard that bell. Is that the second time? But if it is, they can wait. Our food can wait, which we won't be long. And Jesus Christ said in John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men up to unto me. We're supposed to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. Then draw all men unto him. And then, what else? We'll finish up there, and then we'll next week we'll go into God's way of salvation and compare the ark and with the Lord Jesus Christ and show you how they're basically one and the same, at least as an illustration. Okay, Floyd, pray for us, please.
Father, we thank you again for another opportunity, dear Lord, to hear the teaching of the Word of God. Father, help us, I pray, dear Lord, that we all would be settled, dear Lord, in our hearts over the Word of God. And Father, just do what we need to do every day, dear Lord, to not only do, but to practice, Lord, what we have heard. And Father, to live that way, Lord, is
yes.
pleasing unto thee. We ask you to bless the upcoming service. We ask that all that's said is done, Father, that it would bring glory to you. And Father, we're so thankful, dear God, that you've given this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house one more time. We ask these things in thy precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Again, you ever come up with questions, let me know.
Remember that album off your head some years back about Noah?
Vaguely, I do. Yeah. He was kind of funny in something.
That was a funny thing. The guy said, "What you building?" I can't tell you. Well, come on, man, come on. I can't tell you. So give me a hint. He said, "How long can you tread water?"
Yeah, that's it.